Hi, this is Russ Volkman. I'm talking today with Barrett Brown, someone who's been active in the integral community for many years. Did his PhD in fielding at Fielding Graduate Institute and a dissertation on leadership. And Barrett is now heading up an organization in the Netherlands that, among other things, provides training on integral leadership for sustainability. What is the name of that organization, Barrett?
Sure, Russ. It's a continuation of the Integral Sustainability Center that I've been building with Ken and a couple of hundred different practitioners from around the world looking at an integral approach to sustainability for business and for international development.
Wonderful. And what are the activities that you're currently interested in and excited about?
What I'm profoundly personally interested in at this point is helping to build liberating structures that support the development of consciousness of change leaders and change agents and leaders that are involved in organizational and societal change and transformation. And so what that practically looks like is I do a fair amount of leadership development programs that are intensive, and I'm launching a couple of those this fall. And then I do coaching and mentoring around those issues, and I do teaching and master's degree programs and some universities that are doing sustainability leadership work. And then I'm also continuing to do writing and getting my recent research results out from my PhD dissertation, which was on conscious leadership for sustainability.
Great.
And I looked specifically at how late-stage action logics design and engage in sustainability initiatives. And so we can talk a little bit more about that if you'd like.
Yeah, could you tell us a bit about the ideas and experiences around this that you might be sharing with the conference attendees?
Sure. So my discussion for this event this summer with you folks is going to focus on this research. And really, what I was curious about was, what is the intersection of complex consciousness with complex change initiatives look like? Meaning we've got all of these intense challenges that we face on a global scale, ranging from poverty to environmental ecosystem decline to employment to justice issues to biodiversity and climate change. And then, of course, at a simpler but not necessarily less complex level within organizations, there continue to be this acceleration of complexity and the challenges that organizations face. And so I was really interested in, well, if we look at folks who have developed themselves not only with very strong skills for driving and advancing change initiatives, but also develop their consciousness, what does it actually look like? How do they design and how do they engage in these complex change initiatives? And so that's what I did my research on. I went out and found I interviewed close to three dozen leaders that are involved in business, government, civil society, and then assessed them with a developmental psychology assessment using the leadership development profile or the maturity.
What were some of the kinds of findings that you had?
What I did, Russ, was I wanted to look at what is the intersection between complex consciousness and complex change initiatives, meaning what happens when folks who hold very late-stage action logic or a very complex way of making meaning, how do they actually design and engage in complex change initiatives? I was really interested in sort of the practical application and the practical expression of leadership and change agency as it shows up from a very mature consciousness space. And so that's what I did, essentially. I went out and assessed and interviewed close to three dozen leaders from business, government, and civil society that were engaged in complex change initiatives, mostly in the field of sustainability specifically. And then I looked at a subset of them that were assessed at the latest action logics in this developmental psychology model. And so specifically the kind of the latest stages of meaning making. And in the axiomatics model, I looked at strategists and alchemists and ironists. And so that's essentially Thiel and above in using Ken Wilber's developmental spectrum. So what I was really curious about was what sort of core foundation are these folks coming from? How do they reflect and how do they engage? And my dissertation goes into much, much more detail around these three areas. But really the core findings that I came up with include things like these folks have a very powerful ability to embrace uncertainty and really trust in themselves and others and the process that they're engaging in, that they will navigate through uncertainty and ambiguity. One of the things I noticed was that they all tended to use very powerful internal resources and theories to design, and this included intuition and other ways of knowing than rational analysis, but it also included a pretty strong fluency in systems theory, complexity theory, and integral theory. Interestingly enough, the vast majority of participants in this research really were quite solid in all of those areas. And then when it came to actually engaging with the design itself, I found that they used an approach that I termed adaptive design management. And that had a number of elements, and I won't get into all of them here, but one of the key ones that I'll share with listeners is that people really had this capacity to dialogue with the system that they were working with to consistently adapt the design, meaning that instead of pretending that they could figure out all the right leverage points and just press on those and drive it into change, they really treated the systems they were working with as either a complex adaptive system that they didn't have any control over, but they could only set up the initial conditions to support the emergence of novelty in that system, or they treated it as literally a unity element of their own consciousness, in which case they recognize the constantly emerging change and dynamism of that. And so as a result, they would take on this approach that really was like dialoguing with the system, meaning that they would experiment and they would prototype lots of different approaches and lots of different types of mini interventions and listen carefully to how the system responded and how it was adapting to these different interventions. And they would also really literally dialogue with the different members of the system, so the different key stakeholders being involved in any sort of change initiative, and understand their worldviews and think through their worldview as they were designing and engaging. And this led to essentially an approach that was very organic, very emergent, very respective of the individual elements and in the individual people that were involved in the system, and which listened much, much more deeply than it would than essentially, you know, using theories to design stuff or anything like that. It was a very closely listened to system. I found
on the street we might call this conscious trial and error, and there have been studies that show that most of the effective innovations and developments are the product of trial and error processes, not more linear, rational, logical, inspirational events.
Yeah, and I would say that these folks were doing trial and error, but they were also deeply accessing their own intuition and using that as a real source of knowledge. They were using very powerful sort of change and, well, essentially powerful frameworks like systems theory, complexity theory, and integral theory to grasp what was happening in the context and in the dynamics they're working with. And so it was, as you're saying, you know, really conscious trial and error that involved their whole intellect in this process, not just the rational mind.
One of the questions I would have for you around this is that it seems there are a couple of ways that integral is applied in the area of leadership. One is to treat it as a stage of development, which in a sense, when you're talking about higher action logics, we're talking about integral stages of development. But another way is to look at it through a lens like AQOL, where we're looking at a multiple dimensions, which includes individual and collective and lines and stages and types and the various parts of the AQOL model. And so I'm wondering, when you're looking at stages of development, do you take into account issues of culture, issues of systems, in trying to understand the effectiveness of people who step into leader roles?
Well, certainly all of those things are at play, absolutely. And in this particular research that I did my dissertation on, I wasn't measuring their effectiveness. What I was doing was building upon the existing leadership research that had been done that correlates leadership effectiveness with later stage action logics. And there's a fair amount of work that's been done around that regarding to action logics and also related to Keegan's work and orbits of consciousness. And so my interest was really kind of getting into a much more granular perspective on what do these folks actually do? What are they doing on Monday morning that makes them, that is an example of this consciousness in action?
Were there some examples of what people do that you would add to what you've presented so far?
Yeah. So one of the things that I articulated in this research was that there were three different roles that these change agents tended to take based upon their developmental stage. And what I found was that strategists tend to take an approach that was more like trying to catalyze the situation. Their principal role as a leader or change agent was that they really would focus on trying to essentially push the edges and support and enable the kind of the fullest growth and greatest potential, removing problems, reframing, integrating information. But their work really was they were operating on these systems by actively influencing those with ability, power, and influence to make the perceived changes they felt were needed in the system. So it was really this sort of catalytic, sort of almost aggressive role. The alchemists, or turquoise in Ken's model, tended to focus more on creating supportive conditions, meaning they really took a complexity leadership approach to this, and they engaged in this process of really dialoguing with the system, as I mentioned earlier, which involves experimentation and probing and creating conditions that helps the systems and the individuals that constitute them to develop themselves and really setting the initial conditions for the emergence of novelty within that system. It was a softer approach. So instead of operating on the system like the strategists did, they would dialogue with the system. And then the ironists, interestingly, had what I consider an even softer but potentially even more powerful space in that they would tend to hold and wonder, meaning they would energetically hold the space for the development of the potential of the individuals in the system that they were working with. And it was really this sort of subtle energy, potentially even causal space that they were holding that would invite those systems and those individuals to develop into the potential that they saw were possible for them. And then they would consistently wander into the next developmental move for that system. You know, where are we? What are we becoming? What is needed and wanted next? And there's this kind of consistent inquiry as one of the ironists that I measured said she would essentially tune into consciousness and track where is it on the developmental arc and where is the system, where are these individuals, and what is the next micro stage that's appropriate for them, and then at the same time hold the energetic potential for the system and the individual to develop into that.
Right. Did you discover any common kinds of developmental practices that lead these leaders at different stages, these change agents, engaged in?
Yeah, well, what I articulated in the dissertation was that there were some common practices that were relevant for strategists and for alchemists and for ironists. And they really kind of did tend to use different practices to develop themselves and to develop others and to develop the system. And it was kind of a clear demarcation between the different developmental stages and the types of practices that they use. Some of the very foundational practices that everybody was using were coaching and meditation and journaling. Those were core practices that they used, meaning that they would access a mentor or a coach on a regular basis, and they would be engaged in meditation as part of their design and their engagement with these initiatives. And then they would be doing a fair amount of self-reflection around using journaling. So those are the sorts of things that everybody did. But then there were differences amongst the strategists and the alchemists and the ironists. And I'm happy to get into more detail around that when we actually have the discussion in August.
Great. I just have two more questions. One is, I'm finding that people in leader roles who are actively engaged in development are designing, building, what have you, really active support systems for not only their development but for their performance in their roles. And I'm wondering if you noticed anything around how these higher action logic leaders, change agents, were using support systems in their efforts.
Yeah, my experience was that they tended to create support systems for the people that they were engaged in the design with. So all of, you know, in order to drive these large-scale change initiatives and these complex change initiatives they were engaged in, they were always co-designing, right? They were always co-implementing. There wasn't anything. No one was really doing it on their own. And so what they would do is create support systems for the development of the other stakeholders that were involved in the design of the system with them. And so that could consist of, you know, very kind of deep and intense team meetings to developmental training programs that they would go through, bringing in lots of different perspectives to give people a kind of a broad overview of key issues within the field. Then individual one-on-one coaching and mentoring with these particular late-stage action logic change agents that I was studying. They would be doing individual one-on-one and mentoring with the stakeholders they were working with as well. So they tended to build these structures that supported collective and individual development.
Great. I think of this Integral Leadership Collaborative Conference as fostering a more widespread and effective support system for people who are interested in integral leadership, its development, its practice, the theory, and as a collaborative effort for so many of us, I'm hoping that it's going to help evolve such support systems. And I'm wondering, is there an hope that this online conference could help our community achieve?
Yes, and for me, that really has to do with people making some deep connections with people that are local for them that they didn't know were in their area. You know, so much of this, of really doing the depth work that we need to in order to develop ourselves in service of leading in whatever field we're in, has to do with being able to have face-to-face engagement with people on a regular basis. And while having these sorts of opportunities are of the online exchanges can be very intimate and very powerful, and I'm sure that they will be, really what I'd hope is that this event brings people out of the woodwork and they look up and realize there's people that are close enough to them physically that, you know, geographically they can actually connect in a salon or at a coffee shop on a regular basis. Because that's where we really are able to kind of most deeply template each other and receive, you know, kind of the most powerful transmission that, that we each have to offer.
Well, thank you very much, Barrett. I'm very much looking forward to your presentation at the conference, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Yeah, it's really my pleasure, Russ, and I look forward to this event. I'm very excited to see the presentations by everybody.